Hi there. Thanks for being a part of this week's Leading Edge. I'm your host, Jeff Smith. Coming up in just a moment, as we finish out the year, one of this year's success stories is not necessarily a person, but a concept that then turned into a reality. But first, it's supposed to be one of the happiest times of the year. And unfortunately, for a number of families and friends, it has turned into one of the saddest moments of their lives. This week, I posted on social media the following line, and it came from one of our newscasts. I wrote, "Another local school community coming to grips with the loss of a student athlete to violence on Toledo's streets." My first guest wrote a response to that, saying, "The old way of doing things is not working. Actually, she said, we need a revolution stat." Diana Patton is a motivational speaker. She's been on Leading Edge before, the founder of Rise Advocates Academy. Mm-hmm. Good to see you. Thanks
Thank
for
you
being
so much.
Here. Happy
yes.
holidays.
Yes.
I wish it was happier yeah. topics that we were covering. But you wrote we need a revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What did you mean by that?
We need to really look at humanity differently, right? We also need to look at the way we teach. And now I talk about schools, and I can just feel the school saying there's so much on us, on our plates right now. We've been talking about revolutionized schools. We need to revolutionize schools. We need to catch schools up to this artificial intelligence generation, social media, right? What we're teaching during the day needs to be more on how do I deal with my emotions? How do I deal with the way that I think and feel? Because that is what we're seeing happening in the streets. We don't know how to deal with this.
And you're not saying the reading, writing, arithmetic is not
I'm
important.
I'm not saying it's not
you're
important.
You're just saying in this new
right.
dawn,
yes.
right?
That right.
This
we
needs
all
to be
learned teaching can be done differently during the pandemic. We learned that, but we didn't tackle that. And parents are questioning that, right? We're wondering, we're grappling with all of these issues. We cannot think the same way. And we have to think radically. And radical thinking requires a completely different mindset. Not, well, we tried that, or I don't know about that. It's not gonna work. No, we need to throw out everything. And this is what they do with technology. When people are coming into like Apple, they ask them, what are your ideas? We don't even wanna rationalize anything yeah. right now. Revolutionized thinking means that, okay, well, what is the result? What is the systemic issue is, I'm upset.
Conflict. Conflict resolution.
I don't know how to deal with my, this is the way I'm gonna solve it, mm-hmm. right? And people aren't picking up guns in corporate America, but certainly we're not talking, certainly yeah. we're not dealing with a lot of the issues. And what if we went to the elementary level, right? We think about high schools, our elementary school students are really going to come into this way of thinking. We heard, you were just talking, you had someone on about these 14 and 17, it's getting younger, mm-hmm. right? And we need to help them know how to deal with their emotions.
Yeah, you're referring to Malcolm Cunningham,
yes.
who's the head of the Save Our Community mm-hmm. Coalition.
Thank you for your work.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And but you said something to me mm-hmm. that was poignant before we ever came on today. Mm-hmm. You said, the same things I'm talking mm-hmm. to the young girls at Ella P. Stewart
Correct.
About, I go and say to corporations
yes, absolutely.
And their workers.
In inclusion, I'm talking about the way in which we communicate with each other. I'm talking about the fact that I don't like you, right? But I'm gonna sit next to you and I gotta figure out how am I gonna deal with my emotions? I literally was just talking to the Metro Parks about this very topic to talk about servant leadership. Mm-hmm. And what does being an inclusive leader look like? It's talking about the way in which I interact with you, that I don't like the way that you took, that I don't like the way you talk to me, right? And instead of picking up a gun in corporate America, or we just don't talk to people, mm-hmm. or we cancel them, or we just don't know how to get through conflict. And so if we start young, teaching them like we teach math, teaching people how to deal with it. Now we've got social emotional learning in schools, we got trauma, and that's even being talked about today
sure.
that people are trying to obliterate. But those are the very things gonna teach them how to emotionally regulate. So that's one revolutionized thinking that's already been, that's not a hard thing to do, but we gotta stop teaching to a test and teaching to life.
Let me ask you a question. And what we saw this past week, we had a 16-year-old who was mm-hmm. gunned down, and mm-hmm. we found later in the week that it was allegedly by a 26-year-old mm-hmm. and a 24-year-old.
Mm-hmm. And
then yeah. we had this young junior in high school, Springfield High School, who was gunned down, student athlete, 16-year-old. We don't know the circumstances behind these, but I've got to ask you, as far as the community is concerned, and these neighborhoods, and these parents, and what do you say?
Well, the way that I look at it is that we had to look at the way that community supports schools differently. Most high schools, junior highs, elementary schools rely upon the parents to give to the schools, right? To do the service. And you know, we've had people say, well, why don't the parents step up? They need the ones to be the step up. People like me who are excited about community development and mentorship need to wrap their arms around a school and say, how can I serve? What I do and what our parents that work with me, what we do, our kids are grown. We don't even have kids at the school. Guess what we're doing? Serving them every single week with students from the University of Toledo to mentor them.
So don't wash your hands. After your kids have graduated, don't wash
your hands. Don't wash your hands of the school. Yeah. Who's going back to the elementary schools to actually mentor?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you got to go back to your specific school. I didn't go to LAP Stewart.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people that are working with me to come alongside, you know, Principal Rhonda Jemison, we say we're here to support you. We're taking one class and we're supporting that one class. What if we looked at community differently like that?
Yeah.
There's a place for sock drives. There's a place for backpack drives. But there's a place for during the day community support and mentoring. And if the communities with the
and
schools.
Hopefully those words are what are buzzwords for 2024.
That's what I'm hoping.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Diana, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Great stuff. As always.
Yes. You know, we always need more time.
I know. Happy New Year. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. I asked an influential person in town earlier this week. I said, what's the best Toledo story of 2023? And one of the answers that came back this week was Metro Parks Toledo. So joining me now from Metro Park Toledo is Scott Carpenter. Scott, good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
What your reaction to that? Yeah, and this was a very influential person who said, put them up near the top.
You know, I think when you're busy doing it, you don't really realize it until you take a step back. And it's been an incredible year.
I was going to say, from a 30,000-foot view, and when you see the progress that has been made, and we're talking, obviously, Glass City Metro Park, that's kind of the crown jewel right now being worked on. But there's so much going on elsewhere, too.
All across the park system. What a year and what a month. You know, we started this month with Holidays at the Manor House, our annual event, our biggest event of the year, with 20,000 people coming over 9 days to see decorations by our wonderful volunteers. Mm-hmm. We had the first full month of the ribbon at Glass City, the ice skating ribbon, and within that time, our 10,000th skater. We also completed the first 6 months of Glass City Metro Park with 290,000 visitors. I mean, when you look back, it's like, no wonder we were so busy. And then just this last Wednesday, we had the director of the Department of Natural Resources here to declare an 11-acre piece of property within Blue Creek Metro Park and White House as a state nature, the 145th state nature preserve.
So, Secretary of Energy Jennifer Granholm, former governor of Michigan, was here this past week, and she made a point. She didn't necessarily say the Metro Parks by name, but I think she was seeing some of what's happening downtown around the river and noticing just the asset that we have. We always tell people, don't get down on Toledo. It's not, the grass is not always greener. There's some great stuff going on specifically with your organization.
You know, we looked at the riverfront as Toledo's front door and really an unrealized opportunity. And a lot of things came together, a lot of organizations, the city, Metro
Parks. I've lived here all my life, and outside of Portside, why did it take this long?
Yeah, that's a good question. This seemed to come about because the timing was right. Maybe the organizations were aligned, the people were aligned. Looking back, that'll be a really interesting thing to study. Why now?
Yeah.
But I think we've all, for a long time, looked at that riverfront and said, this could be our front door, not our back door. This could be a gathering place, a real center of attention here in Toledo. So that's what we set out to create, was this riverwalk from the Veterans Glass City Skyway to the Anthony Wayne Bridge at both sides of the river. So 5 miles of trail.
When colleges, when they're trying to bring in athletes, they take them to the brand new stadium. They take them to the improved weight room to show things off to get them to sign
exactly.
as part of the recruiting process. Are the Metro Parks a recruiting tool, a recruiting key as far as businesses, and how are they helping?
Yeah, so this whole vision for the Riverwalk really began with the 22nd Century Committee, which developed a plan that became the Downtown Toledo Master Plan, which called for certain elements to make our downtown in East Toledo, being part of that in this case, livable, some place people wanted to live, work, and play. And one of the driving forces behind that was, retention and attraction of talent.
Yeah.
So you're exactly right. The we want the riverfront to be one of the places that you take somebody, a recent college grad who maybe has a pick of places to interview, to bring them here and show them the quality of life that we have here and what we care about here in our city.
In our last minute, can we talk a little bit about 2024 and what we should expect?
So that Riverwalk I mentioned, Glass City Metro Park, that we are all talking about these days, is roughly a quarter of the Riverwalk. So we have three more quarters of that to go. You will see progress throughout the year on both sides of the river, from the MLK Bridge to the docks on the east side, the MLK Bridge to Ford Industry on the downtown side, including work that I think you said you noticed coming in tonight behind One Seagate, where you'll see a spiraling bridge that'll take you up from the ground, the river level, up to the MLK Bridge, which would be the way people will go back and forth. So you'll start to see, it won't be done next year, but you will definitely throughout the year start to see pieces of it come together, and you'll really be able to envision what we're talking about.
We love our location downtown because we get to see it.
You are on the Riverwalk.
And we hear the activity that's going on each and every time.
Sorry
Scott,
about that.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year. We appreciate the insight. Look forward to talking to you in 24. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We say it a lot on this program. We seek out people in our community with passion and purpose. One of those individuals will take on a new role in 2024. I had the chance this week to speak to Robin Eisenberg, who is leaving NAMI for the Jewish Federation of Greater Toledo.
Very bittersweet, very much bittersweet. I was able, luckily, to the Federation granted me the opportunity to give a lot of lead time to NAMI because we are a small but mighty organization here. There isn't a succession plan. I knew that my exit could have been painful if I had just turned in a 2-week 2 weeks and see you later. So I was able to give them 60 days, which was great, which gave them some time to do some self-reflection, decide what they were looking for and needed in a new leader. I mean, I have been here almost over 12 and a half years, and you know, that's a long time. And I've been the face of NAMI for 12 and a half years. So I really wanted them to be able to think this through and say, okay, what does the next 12 years look like for NAMI?
People hear NAMI and they just, I think that goes into the vernacular, but I mean, this is a local organization that has a national scope, even a global scope. You're talking about the National Alliance on Mental Illness. But I guess for those who are watching today and don't really know of the breadth of the reach of this organization, how do you answer that?
Okay, so, you know, I'm representing NAMI in Greater Toledo. Okay, so in our little Northwest Ohio community, we are so blessed to have a NAMI affiliate that is small but mighty. I mean, we have a really small budget, but we are able to reach thousands of individuals and family members who are living with mental health challenges. And post-pandemic, those numbers have just skyrocketed. Because I think, I say this all the time when I'm on TV or when I'm being interviewed on a radio show. I think everybody got a little taste of what it feels like to be living, you know, with anxiety or social isolation or those kinds of things. And so I think that, you know, I'm thrilled that we're able to have more conversations, open conversations in the community about the importance of taking care of your mental health and how it relates to your physical health and how it helps you be a contributing member of society and helps you feel good about yourself. So we're blessed to have this small, mighty organization here. you know, we're blessed to have, you know, funding and support from the Lucas County Mental Health and Recovery Services Board, which is our tax dollars here in Lucas County. They are, I can guarantee you, they are going to directly help our neighbors, our family members, our friends. And so I'm very humbled to have been part of this organization. It was the most rewarding work. And again, Jeff, this is bittersweet for me. I had a hard time when I got the offer from the Federation, deciding if, how was I going to let this go? You know, this was going to hurt a little bit for me. Right. Ultimately we're leaving it in good hands. Mariah Cornawa is going to be our new ED. She's very connected in the community. She's very mission driven. And I think I'm excited to see what happens for the next 12, 13 years.
I tell people that I meet all the time, Robin, I say, you may think that there's no interest in the things you do, your job. And that's where a lot of people are wrong, because there's so much good work that is happening. You know this in Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan, as far as no matter what your company does, no matter what your organization does. So I think that's really important. I also think you touched on an awesome, awesome point, in that the reflection after the pandemic and the observation and the, I guess, acknowledgement that so many of us were either dealing with something or were already dealing with something and noticed that and acknowledged it.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw an influx of folks turning to us saying, oh my gosh, I've never felt like this, or we didn't realize there was a problem here. What do we do? How do we navigate? Because that's what NAMI does. We help folks navigate. We help get them linked up with services in the community. We make sure that they have access to support groups and classes to educate loved ones on how to support somebody. Helping families with children I know our kids struggled immensely during the pandemic. They didn't know what to do with themselves. And so we've seen a lot of that.
And still are struggling, I would say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then NAMI also is really focused on the unique needs of our minority communities, because mental health challenges look different there. And so we do a lot of initiatives in the African-American community, the Latino community, the Arab-American community, because here in the Toledo area, we have a lot of Arab-Americans. In the mental health space, faith space, we recognize for a lot of folks, there's a connection between faith and spirituality and their mental health. So there's a lot of places that NAMI, recognizes that we need to be listening and supporting and doing things maybe a little different for those folks. They have different needs.
Understood. We've got a couple minutes left. Once again, Robin, I so appreciate you taking the time. We'll talk about the transition to the Jewish Federation of Toledo here in just a second. But I wanted to spend just a few moments with you. Word association. I'm going to give you a word. I want you to tell me what it means to you. You ready? Support.
Support. Let's see. A friend. A listener.
Easy enough.
A listener. Somebody who's a friend. A listening friend.
Empathy.
I think that's something that we all need to have, because I think everybody's got their own story. Someone else's story. I mean, everybody's got a story.
Patience.
A skill. A skill. But another thing that people need to practice.
Advocate.
Passion. For sure.
Wonderful.
You can't be an advocate if you're passionate. Yep.
Finally, culture.
Diversity. Recognizing that everybody's different.
And I think also in terms of culture, your environment, right? And the culture in which you live, the culture in which you work.
True. That's all true. I you said a little bit ago, I think some of us don't realize how lucky we are to live in this community, and how many great resources we have in this community, and how there's a lot of work being done in this community, good work. Mm-hmm. And I'm just humbled that I've been able to be a part of that, not just in the past 12 and a half, 13 years, but also through my entire career And I'm seeing a lot of that this week as people are sending me well wishes and saying congratulations. NAMI will miss you, but you know, good luck in your new role.
Yeah.
And so
speaking of making the transition to the Jewish Federation of Toledo, the timing of this move, the importance of this move for you.
Yeah. Like I said, this wasn't something that I went looking for. Kind of was, you know, they reached out to me. And we had some long conversations about, you know, what this might mean for me, because, you know, I've been at NAMI for a long time. And I was very passionate about it. And I told you it was not an easy decision to make, especially in light of all the stuff that is going on in our country, overseas, you know, all of that. But I think that supporting, helping, connecting is all a part of my skill set. And so as I exit NAMI, I think I can bring some of that connection to community to my next position at the Federation, maybe bust some other different kinds of stigmas. You know, it's a great organization. I think, you know, they're doing a lot of great stuff in our community. And I just want to make sure that everybody stays connected, respectful, so that everybody can live a good life.
Good words to end on. We'll be back right after this. Once again, thank you so much for spending some time with us, not only today, but for the times you've been here during the year. If you've missed any part of our interview today, check it out on our WTOL YouTube page. I'm Jeff Smith. Happy New Year. We'll see you next time.